Hello and welcome to another episode of Go Global Brand and Business Talks. I'm your host, Boris Felgendreher, and today's show is all about how UK-based companies that are doing business across the channel with the EU and with Germany in particular are dealing with Brexit. That's a topic that we're covering by popular demand because there are a lot of questions and a lot of issues that entrepreneurs and business leaders are struggling with at the moment. So we decided to check in with two gentlemen that are on the ground in London and who are there to help companies with all questions related to business and trade between UK and Germany at these challenging times. My guests today are Ulrich Hoppe, the Director General of the German-British Chamber of Industry and Commerce, Peter Deku, who represents Bremen Invest in London, and in addition, we brought in Eduard Dobas-Albrecht, a well-known German entrepreneur in the global logistics industry. Let's dive in. Hello, Eduard. Welcome to Go Global Bremen Business Talks. Thanks for being on the program.
Hi, Boris. A pleasure to be with you on the program. Happy to be here.
Great. Eduard, today's episode is entirely dedicated to the topic of Brexit from the viewpoint of businesses in the UK who are struggling with the current situation there. And as you know, we have two additional guests on the program that I had a chance to talk to prior to our conversation today. But before you and I will listen into that conversation together, let's learn a little bit more about your background. You've spent most of your professional life as an entrepreneur in global logistics, so you are very, very close to the struggles and the sort of tough decisions that entrepreneurs and business leaders in the UK are facing right now. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, actually, I was born in the United States, but as a child of German parents, not even German parents, but parents from Bremen. But
they very met, global then.
They met coincidentally in the US. But I actually did grow up in Germany. I moved over when I was 6 years old. So I went to school in Germany. Did an apprenticeship here in Bremen, military service. I studied in St. Gallen, Switzerland. And after that, I went into the forwarding and logistics business, where I spent more than 35 or about 35 years, and I'm still spending to a certain degree. The actual life, even after selling parts of our business, is not over yet. So it continues, and that's good.
Yeah, so the business you're talking about is Ipsen Logistics, right? Just give a little bit of a background of what that global logistics provider, sort of mid-size, but operating globally, right?
Basically, what we do is we arrange transports worldwide. So we will make sure we find the appropriate trucks, vessels, airplanes. We do the documentation. We give a lot of advice to our customers. I mean, in an easy definition, you can say we're almost like a travel agency for cargo. And I think that definition makes it easily understandable for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And then that also explains or kind of drives home the point how close you are to the current situation. I would imagine that
indeed
that you guys are very much impacted. You very much have to struggle with some of the same things that people on the ground in the UK are facing. So
absolutely.
Would love to get your perspective a little bit more after we hear the conversation with these two gentlemen.
Yes.
That I had prior to our conversation. So I talked to Ulrich Hoppe, who's the Director General of the German-British Chamber of Industry and Commerce in London. And also with Peter Deku, who's representing the state of Bremen in London for Bremen Invest. Maybe you and I will listen in to that conversation real quick, and then we'll have all the time in the world to sort of set things into perspective, comment on what we've heard from these guys on the ground, who are in constant exchange with companies struggling.
Indeed.
Awesome. Okay, let's listen into that conversation I had with Ulrich and Peter. Here we go. Ulrich, Peter, welcome to Go Global Bremen Business Talks. Thanks for being on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Great. Gentlemen, I would like to talk to you today about Brexit. It's a topic that feels like it's been talked about ad nauseum, but there's still lots and lots of questions out there, especially in the business community, and especially now as rubber meets the road, so to speak, and as businesses on both sides of the channel have to deal with the real-world consequences of Brexit. And we're not going to answer all of those questions today, but at a minimum, we can point people in the right direction and highlight some of the resources that are available to them. Because as frustrating as the situation may be for some folks on the ground and for businesses doing cross-border trade, there are solutions and there is help available. So let's get started. It would be great if you could quickly introduce yourself. Ulrich, maybe let's start with you. You are the Director General of the German-British Chamber of Industry and Commerce. What's the official role in the charter of that organization?
Yeah, as an organization, we are here to promote trade and investment between the UK and Germany. And we actually work in both directions. So we help German companies to do business in the UK and come to the UK, as well as helping British companies to do business in Germany, as well as helping them to settle in Germany if they want to set up a subsidiary there or a branch. So really, we are based on the belief in free trade and free investment flows, that that actually helps both parties in this field.
Yeah, and what was your path into that role? What's your background? What's your career look like?
I am originally from Bremen, and I did an apprenticeship as a forwarding agent when I left school. So, and this is now all coming back with Brexit and customs formalities, which I thought I've left long behind. And then after I did this, I studied finance and accounting in Bremen, went on to an exchange in Leeds, did a master's then in the UK, went back to Germany, worked for Lufthansa and Dresdner Bank, and then by accident ended up with our umbrella organization, the Association of German Chambers of Industry and Commerce, then worked in New York for 2 years as a deputy director. And when my predecessor retired, I got asked to apply for that job here. And if you get asked to apply, that's what you do. And that's how I then ended up heading the German British Chamber of Industry and Commerce in London for nearly 25 years now. So time has been flying quickly.
But still, extraordinary time for you. You probably haven't seen anything like this in your career there. Right?
No, I think Brexit and COVID have generated new challenges. And Brexit, of course, has been in the making now since 2016. And COVID just arrived, give or take, or more or less overnight. So that's there. And we have to deal with both challenges. At the moment, COVID is the larger challenge still. But Brexit is probably the one which will occupy businesses for much longer, because the new framework between the EU and the UK, that still needs time to develop, and we have to see how businesses will be affected by this in the longer term.
Yeah, and we'll dive into all of that a little bit later here. But Peter, you also have a very interesting and very international background that spans the whole world, it looks like. And you're representing the state of Bremen in London for Bremen Invest.
Yes, that's correct.
What's Bremen Invest? How does it work? Tell me about that organization a little bit.
Well, basically, I mean, it started earlier this year, so we are comparatively fresh to the market. But the Bremen Invest is the foreign brand for the Economic Development Agency of Bremen, so the agency which attracts investment to the location of Bremen. And so this is what we have started at the beginning of January now.
So quite fresh. Was it as a response to Brexit and maybe also into COVID, or was that something that's been planned all along without those two instances happening?
Definitely not because of COVID, but because of Brexit. Brexit was the reason why correctly mentioned before, there are certain opportunities that arise, and companies that might want to venture out in the European Union in order to set up a branch. And this is why we want to make the location of Bremen attractive.
And what's been your path into the role? I already teased it. You have quite an international background, but you are also from Bremen originally, like
yes,
all three of us, right?
Like Dr. Hoppe, I originate from Bremen. And I was leaving Bremen in 1992 to go to Shanghai for a Bremen trading company, a very traditional trading company that has a more than 200-year history and also is exposed in the Asian market, in particular in China, since more than 150 years. And I was living in Shanghai for 26 years before I moved to London in 2018.
Okay, yeah, interesting. All right, let's start diving into our topic then, Brexit. And Ulrich, you're pretty much in direct and constant exchange with UK businesses who are doing business in Germany and international businesses who have set up production and facilities in the UK to service the European and the German market. How would you describe the current mood among that community right now?
The current mood is still one which is mostly characterized by the administrative issues they are facing now in terms of customs, VAT, if they want to trade with the European Union. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, especially in the small and medium-sized sector, because they didn't have all the resources to properly prepare, and especially as this free trade agreement was only agreed on Christmas Eve. So there wasn't much time really to adjust to the new environment from 1st of January onwards. So this is the short-term problem is really customs and administrative formalities, but the longer-term problem really is in terms of how regulation will continue working in parallel, or will they go and differ more substantially? And this will influence location decisions of companies, firstly in terms of from where to serve the European customers, but also where you actually put down some production facilities, because that depends on global value added chain, global supply chains, and that's still currently being worked out for a number of companies, because it's too early to say at the moment how they will decide. But we will expect a shift in sourcing decisions and also in supply chain location decisions. That is going to happen. How big that will be remains to be seen. That is still early days for that. But we've already seen that to some extent that investment was put on hold because of the Brexit uncertainty. And now, as we have some more certainty how the world is going to emerge in terms of the trading framework, these decisions will now be really analyzed and slowly being made and put into action.
Yeah, do you have some concrete numbers to illustrate how Brexit has impacted trade already between the UK and Germany in particular so far?
Yeah, we've seen the January figures in terms of export and imports between the UK and Germany being substantially down. Yeah. February was already back to a sort of normal. So I think overall we can probably say since the referendum, trade has probably shrunk by 2 to 3% per annum between the UK and Germany. Of course, last year was more difficult, but that's largely to do with COVID, with the UK economy shrinking so much and therefore being less able to buy foreign goods. So that remains to be seen how that's going to develop. But trade has been coming down since before the referendum, and I think that trend will continue, and supply chains will be, in inverted commas, simplified. So we'll probably see less cross-border trade, more things produced locally to serve the respective market, and that will be the development for the years to come.
Yeah, Peter, that sentiment that Ole just described about the mood of the community, does that align with what you're hearing from the community as well?
Definitely so. I mean, this is... I would say that the bigger companies have also, of course, all made their homework in advance with certain task force that were put in place. But it's the small and medium-sized companies that struggle right now, in particular because the final decision and the final deal was only done so late. And they are facing a lot of challenges on the cross-border trade into the European Union. Before, it was very simple. I mean, whether you delivered goods within the UK or whether you delivered them into the EU, it didn't make a lot of difference. But now you have this red tape that you have to cope with, and that makes it very difficult for them.
Yeah. Can you give us a couple of specific issues or examples to sort of illustrate that sort of red tape and what's going on? Maybe a couple of tangible examples that make it come to life?
Yeah. I mean, there was always this talk about this cheesemaker who was delivering about 40% of his production to individual clients in the EU, and there was no problem before. So now, I mean, you have for products that are produced in Britain no customs duty, but you have other regulations that kick in. And if a client in the EU would buy a piece of cheese with his maker now, then he would have to pay €160 for a food and health certificate on top of it. So nobody's going to do that. And he has to find solutions in order not to lose 40% of his turnover that he was supplying to this market before. And one of the options is, of course, to set up a branch somewhere in the EU. And this is where we want to make Bremen attractive.
Yeah. If you look across the different industries, what industries have been impacted the most with this?
Well, basically, I think the food and beverage industry is definitely one of the industries. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, I think everybody is affected. I mean, it's not really a matter of individual industries, but definitely, I mean, across the whole board.
Yeah. Or do you agree, or do you see certain patterns when you look across the different industries and how they're impacted?
No, I agree with Peter, because I think, as he mentioned, it's food and drinks industry, because there you have extra certificates, health certificates, so there you will have extra regulation in any case, independent of customs formalities. And then what we've also seen is companies who operate in global supply chains. That's very difficult because rules of origin requirements are coming in, because it's just a free trade agreement. It's no longer participation in the single market. So if parts originate from other parts of the world, then customs formalities may lead to extra costs, because then the rules of origin requirements for free trade are no longer fulfilled. But what we've also seen is like a lot of direct transactions in terms of companies delivering to consumers or their final customers, either in the EU or in the UK, largely on Incoterms like delivered duty paid. They have problems because they now need a customs representative. That's extra costs, and that is very difficult to handle. It also adds time to the delivery time and uncertainty in terms of being able to stick to agreed delivery dates. And therefore, these companies need to also simplify their logistics chain, and they need to operate warehouses now in the EU to actually be able to deliver to their customers on time as promised, because these difficulties in terms of the transport should not be underestimated in this day and age of when we look at Amazon, so who delivers on time, on target. And this is a demand which many consumers now have and many companies have, and this is an issue which companies now have to look at in order to keep their market share.
Yeah, let's double click a little bit on that strategy of UK businesses setting up subsidiaries, production facilities and warehouses and so forth in Germany or in Europe to service the German and the European market. How much of that are you already seeing, Ulrich? Is that already happening as we speak, or is this something that is on people's radars but hasn't really kicked in? Or how would you describe that strategy?
It has been happening now for 4 to 5 years in various forms. So companies have already started a few years ago to set up a subsidiary in Germany or in another European country, just to be there to operate with a local legal identity that you can actually then put all the processes in place in terms of customs clearance and so on. That is actually helpful if you have your own company there. And they've already looked at warehousing capacities and so on. So that's been a slow process in terms of keeping the delivery chain running smoothly. In terms of shifting production to various different locations, that I think we haven't seen to a large extent. So we've heard this from some sectors in the automotive industries and so on. But I think that needed, first of all, clarity in terms of what the future trading relationship will look like. And that's, as we've already said, we've only been aware of since Christmas Eve. And the details are still need to be hammered out or get used to in terms of what that all actually means on the ground. So there, I think, we'll probably see adjustments to production chains over the coming years, because that takes much longer to analyze and then also to implement. So it's not that companies are closing factories in the UK, move somewhere else. So I think it's small adjustments here or there. But what we will see is what is very often called this kind of nearshoring. So you have to be in that market. So for a lot of European companies, they probably have to have some more activity in the UK to serve that market, but also the other way around. Some UK companies need to be in Europe with a larger presence to serve that market.
Yeah, maybe. And if we look at some of the pros and cons of that strategy, so relocating some of the production facilities onto continental Europe and maybe into Germany even, what would you describe as some of the pros and cons of that strategy that should be weighed?
I think that has a lot to do, I think, with the individual supply chain and where these products in the end go to. So I think companies need to look at the global world. Which market am I going to serve from an EU location? Which market am I going to serve from a UK location? And that's, of course, we have the customs formalities, free trade agreements and all this. But then it's also to do I have the right skill set there, the technology and all these other locational factors, which are really very much company dependent in terms of their decisions. So these location decisions are very complex decisions, and many factors play a role in that. And of course, we had a stable system up until Britain decided to leave the EU, and that has brought in some instability. And now we know what the future framework will look like, and now these adjustments will take place. But it is very much on an individual company basis that these decisions are being made, with many factors coming into play.
Peter, I mean, it's one of the core strategies or core charters of Bremen Invest to consult businesses that want to make that move, that maybe want to relocate and set up shop in Bremen, ideally. Mm. What's your approach there? How do you consult companies? How do they interact with you? How do they work with you as they make these very important strategic decisions?
Well, I mean, funny enough, when we started this project, I looked at a European map. And if you look at the countries from Scandinavia down to Portugal, and I mean, up to the east of Eastern European states, then if you point your finger to the middle, you very much end up near Bremen. So Bremen has a very, very central location within Europe, which is, of course, I mean, ideal for distribution within the EU. And I mean, the history of Bremen is also very closely connected with logistical services since a long time. You have many advantages in Bremen on that part, because you are basically a seaport, but you also have the inland waterways. You are connected with highways. I mean, the A1, the highway number one, goes through Bremen, and you have the railway systems and the air traffic as well. So I mean, from that point of view, of course, Bremen is a very ideal location. The other thing that Bremen has as a very big advantage is that it's still very, very efficient and small city. I mean, the ways are never very far in Bremen. I mean, literally, if you look at the marketplace, you have the town hall and you have the Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Agency in 5 minutes walking distance apart from each other. And they are all very, very closely connected and communicate very quick. So, I mean, if you set up shop in Bremen, then, I mean, the ways are not very long, and you can make it very quick.
Yeah. Ulrich, what about you? Is it a tough sell if you talk to UK-based companies to relocate to Germany or into Bremen? Have you had conversations along those lines? Or is a lot of interest developing, or do you have to actively go out and sell?
No, there is a lot of interest by companies who sell to the German market in the first place, really, in terms of how to secure that market in future. So they do look at Germany in terms of, where shall I establish a foothold? And that really then depends on their requirements. So where are their major customers? So but logistics is a key asset of any logistics center for these companies who need warehousing capacity to serve the market. And then furthermore, in terms of the skill set you need. So I think that's always important for any location in order to show potential investors, yes, you can also find the right skills here. It's not just about the land. It is really about the human infrastructure, which is so important, and also getting the help in terms of navigating through the administrative issues which you have in every location, in every country. So companies really want to focus on their entrepreneurial activity, on being a company, on doing business, and less on the administration. So, and I think these are, let's say, three key factors which are important for companies in terms of their decision making. And it varies then from company to company which one is more important.
Yeah, help me out here. Explain to me how you are of active service as companies make these decisions. How do you interact with them? What's the formal ways of interacting with these companies that are facing these difficult decisions?
Yeah, so we bring them together with economic development agencies, law firms on the ground in Germany who can help them to fulfill the legal requirements which they have to do as when they form a company in Germany. But it is really being there, helping them in their decision making, really helping them in terms of a structured approach at what factors to look at, and then putting them in touch with the right people. And I think that's always important. Yes, you can make a decision at your desk or so, and you look at a map and you look at your customers, and that might make sense and so on. But then you also need to have this kind of personal infrastructure which helps you along the way. And I think that's where we, as our organization's mission is really to promote trade and investment between the UK and Germany, come in actually bringing people together, putting them in touch so that they can then actually hammer out themselves what they need to do and actually to drive their business forward and to tap or secure new markets.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff obviously depends on personal interaction and personal contact, and we haven't had any of that for the last 18 months or so. Like, how has that impacted the way you do business and bring companies together?
My feeling is, and that's very difficult to compare the UK and Germany, but the UK has always been a bit more flexible. They are more easygoing in terms of trying out new things, talking to other people, even if they don't know them, being more open minded. That doesn't mean any business will come out of it, but one tends to listen. Oh yeah, somebody has a proposition, we'll listen, and then we go from there. So this kind of openness, which is part of the British business culture, actually has somehow helped to manage this pandemic when we can all only meet virtually. So because this general tendency of openness then also extends to this virtual form. And I don't know, that's very difficult for me to judge from the UK perspective now, what these interactions are like in Germany.
Peter, what about Bremen Invest? What's been the impact that COVID had on your way to interact with companies and really get a good job done?
Yeah, I said we started only on the 1st of January. So, I mean, the first quarter was very much dedicated to come up with a market study and to get a grip of the market and how we are going to continue with this approach in the future. So, I mean, COVID was actually ideal for that because a lot of this is internet research. And now with, I mean, so many people in Britain having been vaccinated, the market is already opening up. So, I mean, we are now, of course, going more actively out. The trade shows will start soon. The functions will start soon again, and the events. So this is where we are going to, of course, do the networking as well as via certain organizations as well. And we also have come up and start to promote Bremen as a location via social media as well. So these are the approaches that we follow up at the moment.
Yeah, and maybe as we're wrapping up this conversation, I would like to get you guys' prediction about what the rest of the year will hold. I know it's difficult in such volatile circumstances, but maybe a couple of predictions that you have about how we are getting out of all this mess. Ulrich, let's start with you. What are your predictions for the year?
Yeah, I think we have to get used, not just up until the end of this year, but for the years to come, that we have to live with a higher level of uncertainty. I think we've all lived probably since the end of the Second World War in this kind of certainty, predictability, and this kind of environment. And that's not going to come back very quickly. So that's, I think, societies have adjusted to that. Businesses have adjusted to that. That really, that is the new normal. That is, I think, interesting and challenging for a lot of us in the industrialized world. I mean, people in the developing world, they always had this insecurity and uncertainty, or in middle income countries. We didn't have that. So we need to adjust to that. And that will be the biggest challenge. The second prediction I would make, that international travel will still be difficult for a long time to go. Yes, we've seen that in the UK with the vaccination. Peter mentioned that already. That has led to some kind of positive optimism here in the UK. But international travel, that will still be very difficult, and because countries will always fear, oh, we import another strain of COVID or a different mutation. So I think that we'll see some normality there returning. That will take much longer. But that's why I think, making another case, so it is probably worthwhile for companies really to be closer to their customers in future, to be in different markets with a stronger presence, just to be able to serve that market, because the sorting out issues by international travel will still be far more difficult. So one has to be very much closer to one's customers.
Yeah, very much agree. Peter, what about your predictions for the rest of the year?
I can only fully agree with Ulrich. He has actually touched the points very correctly. I mean, international travel will be difficult, and it will be sort of linked to the security within the different countries. So I guess that there will be countries where vaccination rates are very high, and certain corridors might be introduced. I mean, we see this happening already between, for example, Australia and New Zealand, where people can travel travel rather freely without going into quarantine, and this will happen, I think, with other markets as well or other countries as well. But I mean, travel as a whole will be difficult international for some time to come.
Yeah, well, let's see. Maybe we'll reconvene in exactly a year from now to see how things have panned out, if the silver linings have materialized and things are back to normal. We all hope that, of course. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the program today. It's very much a good conversation. I leave some links in the show notes for people who want to double click and see what both of these organizations that you represent can offer to companies that are struggling with the current Brexit situation. There's lots of good stuff that you can provide in terms of resources and active help. So that's good stuff, and I'll provide information in form of links. Thanks again for being on the program, guys.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
All right, Eduard, first comments, observations from what you just heard from the folks on the ground there.
Well, I would clearly say that the two gentlemen hit a lot of the appropriate points, whether it concerns the impact of Brexit, of COVID, and also the general atmosphere in business in a time of change. I think actually COVID has clearly sort of unveiled the necessity for change. You know, if we look at Germany and digitalization, it became very clear that this is something where we must work hard on. So this became clear. Another thing, of course, is, and we're talking about Brexit, is, and we've all been negative about it, and there's plenty of uncertainty, but there's also opportunity. You know, we must always see the opportunity, and there's opportunity, for instance, for a place like Bremen.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, that in the past it wouldn't have been so obvious for UK companies to invest in Bremen and to perhaps open a subsidiary in Bremen. This may now become much more obvious and necessary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, why not look at opportunities as well in this difficult time? Because we will not be able to read everything what the authorities have in mind in terms of regulations, customs, and so forth. And we've got to live with it and get used to it. The British actually are very good at that.
Yeah. And Eduard, of course, you're looking at everything through the lens of an entrepreneur in the logistics space. What are some of the things that you've observed, that you've heard, that haven't been mentioned by these folks there? I mean, they have a different perspective, right? They're from Chamber of Commerce and Bremen Invest, but you're an entrepreneur. And you're in the logistics space, which has been impacted by Brexit, probably in a very dramatic way and maybe much differently than some of the other industries, right?
Indeed. Well, it really depends on which field of logistics you're looking at. If you are strictly looking at transportation, at trucking, and if you've seen the original chaos, that has been dramatic for the trucking companies. And many of them will also have lost money because their customers simply did not replace the cost. On the other hand, if you look at regulations, customs, formalities, this is an opportunity for us. You know, customs agents disappeared in Europe a few years ago. Well, now they become necessary. Yeah. So here's an opportunity which will definitely also take place, and which already is taking place, because trading companies or the importers will require our services and our know-how. So there is an opportunity for sure, which maybe the gentlemen didn't work out as much, even though they mentioned the obstacles. But as I said, in every obstacle, there's also an opportunity for somebody else who knows how to tackle them.
Yeah, you just said that it's becoming obvious that Bremen is a place that UK-based companies should take a look at. Let's unpack that statement a little bit further. We've heard both gentlemen talk about Bremen a little bit, but you're even closer to the action, right? You're on the ground here. That's where your business is located. Give us your best pitch, so to speak, of what makes Bremen so special or why it deserves special attention right now.
I loved the image Mr. Deku described about Bremen being central.
Yes. Yeah.
Also because I used that myself many years ago in India when I did a presentation. But further than that, if you look at Bremen, then in comparison to other places, Bremen is relatively affordable. I think that's a very important point. You know, if you look at, I hate to say it almost, but Rotterdam, then this is a fantastic agglomeration, but it's expensive there. If you look at Hamburg, our other competitor, much more expensive. Bremen, and also the outskirts of Bremen, is not as expensive, both for living but also for starting a warehouse, a small warehouse. All the logistics, the people, or the two gentlemen have mentioned that Bremen is really a hot spot in terms of logistics, and people know each other, and there's short distances, and things are easy to move forward. But the cost of establishing a business here, I'd like to put the emphasis on that, is definitely lower than elsewhere. And then to move into Europe from Bremen, that was mentioned, is logistically very easy. We have everything we need. You know, if you look at, for instance, the big cargo logistics center, I'll use the German term, you know what I mean, Güterverkehrszentrum. Well, it is the most advanced in Europe. It has just recently been awarded as being the number one in Europe, and it is fantastic. There's still certain space available. And if you have a location there, then from there you can really service the European market very, very well. And again, at affordable cost. So that works well.
Yeah. And what might not be as obvious to folks on the ground in the UK is that Bremerhaven is a part of Bremen, right? And
absolutely.
It's a very, very attractive harbor with a long history and just ready to do business, so to speak.
Well, and in addition, we have the lunar platform, which is a huge industrial area, which is requiring which is looking for development, which is ready for development, both for industrial and logistic purposes. And you're totally right. No, I don't see, if I say Bremen, I always mean the cities of Bremen and Bremerhaven together. Yeah. And there is absolutely great opportunity there, and it's easy to reach from the UK. So that is absolutely no problem. There's ferry services, there's vessels, liner services between the UK and Bremerhaven. It's easy.
Yeah, let's maybe to finish off, give us some concrete advice of what you would recommend from an entrepreneur to an entrepreneur. If you were running a business in the UK and thinking about all these things that we talked about in this program, what would be your approach? How would you go about it? How would you find advice? Who would you contact? How would you go about this?
Indeed, I would contact Bremen Invest in the UK, because that's the first and most obvious step to get some information. In addition, then, I certainly would recommend, even despite COVID, traveling to Bremen, just to get a feel for it. And then once in Bremen, contact us here contact the Chamber of Commerce. Language is not an issue here in Bremen. It's easy to communicate, to figure out, to get a feel what this place has to offer. Also in terms of its international focus, which I think is very, very special and goes back to a long history, obviously, but that doesn't truly help currently. But fact is that we are very open-minded to international business and to having international investment here. And once you find that out, the chamber could also introduce a potential investor to entrepreneurs here, so you can talk to your peers. And you can talk about the pros and, yes, also the cons which may exist, so that people really get an open feeling and an honest idea about what Bremen has to offer. This is, I would really support the so-called hands-on approach, that by going yourself, getting in touch with people, all this is very, very easy in Bremen, and there's plenty of people who would be willing to openly discuss investing here and doing business from here. So that would be my practical, very practical advice.
Yeah, perfect. I can hear you're an entrepreneur with very practical advice. That's how we like it. Edward, I asked both Ulrich and Peter for their predictions. I would be curious to hear some of your predictions of how the rest of the year will unfold. What's in store for us?
Well, I actually think that in terms of, let's call it, industrial output and exports, imports, we are much farther than what people tend to say. That's what really is driving us currently. So we needn't truly catch up in that regard. What is important, of course, is that we develop a plan for reopening. So things will, I'm afraid things will, and they already are taking longer than we have hoped so. And the two gentlemen mentioned that. They mentioned international travel, open travel, maybe also getting rid of fear. There are certain people who simply have fear of traveling, which is very understandable, and yet, of course, must be overcome. So we indeed will have to live with this situation for quite a while. But let me mention something which I think they are doing well in the UK. And Mr. Johnson did that with a lot of personal risk. He set up this plan and he said, on day X, we're going to do this. And on day Y, we are going to do this. And he's following these steps. And what he has accomplished with this already is he has given his people a vision. They're following that, and suddenly there's hope in the country. And everybody knows, and is realistic enough, that there may be obstacles and may be problems. But basically, people are optimistic. And I think this is very, very important to establish this also, not only in Germany, but basically in continental Europe. We, to a certain degree, are too negative. So my prediction is if we overcome this negative sentiment, then we have a good chance to getting back to a normal. Not the normal, but a new normal. That's sort of what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, there's a great German word for what you described earlier, which is Planungssicherheit, right? Yes. The security of knowing of what's ahead, of giving me something to work with, give me something that I can plan with. That's a nice German word that describes, which sort of also plays into our need maybe for security, right?
So exactly.
Planungssicherheit would be a good thing. Yes,
it definitely would be a very, very good thing, and I believe that is absolutely necessary now, because we are not at stage one. A year ago, none of us really knew what we were facing. But now we are far advanced, and we have the vaccines, we have various techniques of battling the disease and so forth. So we should look at that. And that is necessary. You know, in business, it's the same. Or if you take an Englishman who wants to invest in Bremen, he will not know everything, but he will have a certain plan to move forward and to follow that, and then hopefully be successful and have a vision.
Hopefully we've given some impulses or some concrete advice of how that can be done. We'll leave some link in the show notes. I think we've expressed now that the infrastructure is in place to be of help, so nobody's on their own. Nobody has to reinvent the wheel. There's lots of information sharing. There's best practice sharing, and there's concrete help available. And Bremen is open for business. So that's a clear signal from
Absolutely
here.
Absolutely so. Absolutely so.
Awesome, Eduard. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you very much for that perspective. I think it was very important to have an entrepreneur's and a business owner's perspective in all of this. So thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that was the Go Global Bremen Business Talks episode about how UK companies are dealing with Brexit. If you like today's show, please subscribe to the Go Global Bremen Business Talks podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. We have a number of exciting guests and topics around global trade and business coming up in English and in German that you don't want to miss. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.